Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show. They be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gang got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my pills dead, they took the wrong. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it, really trying to be about it. Never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence.
Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
May he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me. Knowing prison dangers, doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and I repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام to you all. Welcome to another wonderful night here at Point of Impact. That's right, Point of Impact, and yours truly, your beloved brother. That's me, y'all, speaking right now. You know what it is. Derek Hansford, Minhaj Malai. You know, I'm here with my coach, my team, my family, mother, Queen Krista Ellison, and my beloved brother, the brother to the people, y'all, February the 26th. And I got to tell you guys, I love how we have our podcast set up with it being the call-in, because I could be anywhere I want to be.
That's right.
But then again, you know what I'm saying? I love it that I could just be anywhere and tune in, you know, and broadcast for you all. You know, I'm out here in the cold of Wisconsin, and I got to tell you guys, I want to give a big shout-out to Green Bay. Big shout-out to Green Bay. Hey, Green Bay, and I'm not saying it, but I'm being one of them, y'all. Green Bay, white people, they're on a whole nother level, yo. They're on a whole nother level, yo. And I give bad love to them because, hey, listen, it's a different kind of white people out here, y'all. Hey, they are very... They're very kind, but I just wanted to put that out there and give mad love to the Green Bay, Wisconsin, you know, out here with my family, and I want to give mad love to my family back in VA, You know what I'm saying? I love you all. You know what I'm saying? And know that I miss y'all. And I'm looking forward to, you know, now, you know, before I leave, you know, it's going to be hard to leave, but, you know, I got to come back to BA and then come back, you know, but it is what it is. So we here tonight. Hassan, what's up, man?
Man, listen, brother. You know me. I'm here. Listen. Look. You know. What you say, bro?
What's going on, bro?
Oh man, listen. I don't know what's happening with this phone, but I'm getting a playback, so I'm just gonna speak through it, right? Getting double up on my voice, and it sounded like I was talking to you, but I was talking to myself.
Are you next to a speaker or something?
As a matter of fact, no. I got this. Let me try it like this. No, see, it's a delay. All right, look, we not gonna worry about it. We gonna go ahead with it.
Yeah.
Well, look, first and foremost, man, I wanted to say peace and paradise to the human family, man. I've been out there today in the projects, man, canvassing for Richard Walker. Had an opportunity to meet some beautiful, beautiful people out there who's striving to make change in their community. And we've been connected with people all across the city out here in Richmond, man, and it's been a real good vibe, bro.
So you've been out canvassing, you said, for Richard Walker. And you want to tell people who Richard Walker is?
Oh, wow, that's a big feedback.
Mm-hmm.
It's big feedback. I would suggest that he call back. What I was gonna say, he was talking about camping for Richard Walker, and we were down in Fame. My voice is doing the same thing.
Okay. Can you fix that feedback, Tayshaun? Anything you could do?
Peace and blessings.
That might be something Tayshaun need to fix.
Yeah.
I too got feedback.
I'm checking it. Maybe you could hang up and call right back. Maybe.
Yeah, hang up. You gotta try to hang up and call right back. Let's get see if we can get my team back. Just having those technical difficulties, you know, in the calling. But I welcome everyone to the show tonight. You know, of course, we're here to talk about issues of criminal unity and how it impacts the African-American community and the family, just how it impacts the human community, in the essence of everything that's going on in this United States of America. And just in general, the deprivations that Black people have had to go through, and just trying to bring some solutions to these issues, because there are solutions. Whether people are ready to step up and hit home runs and do they Reggie Jackson, you know what I'm saying, and bat for the wall, you know what I'm saying, it's something different. You know, and that's really what we need to change. And, you know, I want to share something with y'all. Before I got on, and I was just talking building with my family about this, before I got on the plane to come here that night before I left Virginia, right? I went into a 7-Eleven, and, you know, I dressed in my yard, 7-Eleven, and there was a young boy who was standing behind the line, and he began to laugh at me as he saw me standing on the line. So I was like, you know, he's looking at me, laughing at me. And I was like, look at this. A youngin' ain't got no fear, you know? So I said, excuse me, young man, you know, you laughing at me? He's like, yeah, I'm laughing at you. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm laughing at you. Look at what you're wearing. I said, wow, you laughing at a man who's dressed modest. That's funny. And he was like, yeah, you shouldn't dress like that. And I said, well, this is the modern dress of the Aboriginal people, man, being modest, you know. They covering themselves, you know. And I just was telling him, you know what Aboriginal people are? He's like, yeah, people from Africa.
Right.
I
said,
okay.
He said, but I'm not from Africa. I said, okay. I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Ohio. and no part of me is from, and no part of me is from Africa. And I was like, wow. And it instantly hit me back to the conversations we was having with my sister Nikki and you, Krista, and
right.
the other sister. I forget her name. We were talking about education. Our sister Amala. You know, we were talking about renewing education for the listen. Our people, and I was just saying, is we've been really whitewashed. No less brainwashed. No, we've been whitewashed. You know,
all right.
where, you know what I'm saying? We, this,
right.
this historical nonsense of like of who we are as a people and where we come from.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad when you hear children 11 years old saying they don't recognize themselves from where they come from. They recognize themselves as being
you know, it, when you talk about clothing, even the plaid and the pattern that
right.
you wear have representation that people don't even know what they're wearing, and they don't know what they're representing when they wear it.
Come on, sis. Yep.
So to really go dive deep into the clothing and what you wear, if people really knew the meaning and the history behind what they put on, and the demise and the weekend of what they put on, because some things make you your spirit, and then some things will make you strong in your spirit. So if they educate themselves a little bit better, we will be, you know, a lot further than what we are. But it's easy to laugh and make fun of what you don't understand. That's the defense.
Right.
So staying ignorant. To stay ignorant.
Right. Right.
I got something I want y'all to build on. I'm gonna ask both of y'all. Chris, I know you time. I appreciate it. But I wanna put forth this statement. I love this statement. And you know, I've been doing some seeking knowledge and understanding some of the ethics and some of the incentives. Some of the initiatives that the NAACP is pushing nationally. And so Derek Johnson, who is the national CEO of the NAACP president, he quotes, and I want to quote what he says, the relationship between law enforcement and our community is fractured because of years, he says, of years of decades of a system, a batch that has let countless issues go unaddressed. Now I want to ask Hassan, I want to ask you, like, from this quote, like, how did this quote resonate with you?
Oh, wow. Well, I actually had an opportunity to speak about some of that when I was at Virginia Tech this past Wednesday for the education inside of prison panel discussion that we had with the Arts and Humanities Department. And as you talk about this, talking about the failed relationship between law enforcement and the community, especially the black community, what we gotta remember, is that when blacks were brought over here, African people were brought over here through the transatlantic slave trade, there was no such thing as a law enforcement, right? There was law enforcement didn't exist at the time of the colonies in 1619. And so forth like that. They didn't have a law enforcement the way that it exists now.
That's right.
Right? And so the law enforcement that we talk about now actually originated from slave patrols. Right?
Right.
And the slave patrols were put in place to protect the property of the slave master.
Right.
And the property of the slave master was the slave. Now, the law enforcement as it exists at that time was specifically for the protection of the property, which was the slave, and the slave patrols then began to morph into more organized policing.
Right.
Now, when you deal with that, there's two different types of policing going on, of course, right? There's a policing that's going on with the sheriff and so forth like that with the Caucasian community, and then there's a policing that's going on with the enslaved community.
Okay.
And so when you talk about a fair relationship, the relationship was never good. See?
Right.
The relationship as pertains to law enforcement and people and oppressed people, especially those who were victims of the transatlantic slave trade, there was never a good relationship between the slave and the slave catcher.
Right.
And so if you want to fast forward into modern time, look at it like this. When you think about the Attorney General, you know, that the Attorney General is actually the head or the height when you're dealing with law enforcement within the state. And then, of course, you have the Attorney General that is beside the president, and he's in charge of, in actuality, law enforcement across the nation.
Right.
Right? Now, as they sit on their seat up high, right, They end up, for lack of better words, like the Wicked Witch of the West in The Wizard of Oz, that sent out her flying monkeys whenever it was somebody that was not in violation. Right?
Okay.
All right. Now, to follow me, the flying monkey.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. Now, listen. The flying monkeys are them individuals in the uniform, in the patrol, in the police car, on the police motorcycle, on the horseback, whatever it might be, right? And when they send them out, it's based upon certain violations of what they call codes, right? You have your U.S. code. And then each state has a code.
Okay.
But all of these codes, as it pertains to codes that govern, originate from what? Slave codes. See, back on the plantation, you had slave code. You had slave codes that originated out of slavery, and those slave codes or black codes or slave laws were specifically written based upon the slave in mind, right? With specifically the slave in mind. Now, what I want to show you is how that aspect of being able to police people through commerce and protect property has morphed into policing citizens and protecting the citizens as property.
Right.
Okay, so what I'm trying to show you is that slavery, it was never abolished. It just changed form. And we talk about the modern-day slave prison industrial complex as modern-day slavery, right? But I want you to look a little bit deeper into the economy and employment and you working as a second-class citizen in this country as slavery.
Right.
All right. So now, let's relate this back to the police. Right? The fair relationship with those of us who are in the black community is only a sign and a symbol of the failure of the relationship with the police in totality, across the board, across the nation.
Right.
Because anytime there is a discrimination and there is a total disregard for the rights of any people in this nation, it will undoubtedly have a drastic effect upon the rights of every people within this nation.
Well, and that you know, and I like that, because when you talk about the, you know, the discrimination and the challenge of, you know, being a opponent against the, you know, the actual issues of injustice towards black people, it always has been that way. So the challenge has always been, we've always been a opponent to this injustice. You know, we've always been an opponent, you know, and so therefore it's just like they say here, that one of the things I love what they say here in the fact finding, they say, when we talk about race and justice, we're talking about the ways that discrimination, policing, persecutions, and incarceration practices impact black communities. So, you know, it was amazing when you were talking about that, because as we all know of slavery, and we know of the you know, accosting of black people through slavery, talking about us being the property of, you know, the white established society at that time, and still how they keep us in these chains. It always, you know, takes me back to people just needing to inform themselves about, you know, the debt pionic and understanding why the system is carrying us in this consistent cycle where we're always seeming to be in debt to this so-called system. You know, we're never free from the system. You know, we go through segregation, we go through slavery, we get emancipation, slavery, then we go through, you know, the process of segregation. Then we go through the process of marching for rights and trying to get establishment for, you know, the right to vote, the right to, you know, our constitutional rights and active employment and the practices of equal employment and all of these type of things, of equal opportunity. When we start looking into and scoping it, you see how the practice of debt pionage is the method of methodology that is continuously snowballing and continually growing through the years that we just seem to want to ignore. And until we remove these practices, as you were just speaking of, because debt pionage was supposed to be abolished in 1943 by President Roosevelt. But here we are in 2023.
A lot of times you're going to hear from the police officers, black or white, I was just following orders.
Exactly.
That's so true. I feel as, you know, when we talk about this right here, Malai, this is a deep conversation, right? Because the strange relationship when you deal with law enforcement in the black community is something that runs very deep, right? But I think that when you look at the relationship with law enforcement across the board, as it pertains to the failure of law enforcement in policing, it has just as much to do with what they have done to the black community, right, and what they failed to do within the white community.
Yes.
See, you're talking about, let's think about this. Think about this, right? When the crime bill was written, the crime bill was written in a way that the state, in order for them to receive the grants and everything, the money that was coming from the federal government, in order for them to receive that, they had to meet a certain quota of arrest.
Right.
So what this did was prompt them to actually, and we're talking about 1995 now, we're talking about Joe Biden and the drafting of the crime bill, along with Bill Clinton, and it was bipartisan legislation that did this. Democrats and Republicans voted this law into practice, right? And we're talking about we're talking about the crime bill that produced truth and sentences that really caused the prison population boom. When this happened, Malai, what they did was they strategically said, well, if we need to meet an arrest quota, we're not going into the rural areas to commit these arrests, even though crimes were occurring there and they were occurring more often, right? Than in the black community, because of course blacks are minorities in this country, and there's over 300 million Caucasian people within this country. So it's a lot of crime taking place within the white community that does not get publicized. Now, the crime was being publicized within the black community for the sole purpose of the propaganda tool used to justify the massive arrest that was being taken place in the black community.
But see, that's what I was about to come in at. Like, I agree with you, but there's a machine there of propaganda being pushed.
Yeah.
And now I have to speak the truth, because that propaganda is being greatly pushed by now, as I was speaking on earlier, the mentality that we have of being whitewashed, where we ourselves give a hand to that propaganda.
Mm.
You know, right now, when you look at the mass number of black lives being lost to gun violence, a repeated underminements of our government, placing guns into our community. They say when you do something repetitive, it helps you to gain more ground, right? To understand it better, right? But
yet, the
repetitive, destructive derailment of our community, we have not yet come to bunker down and say, yo, we ain't going that route no more. We already know. You know, we know what's coming with that. We lived that already. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're not. As a people, we're stuck. We're stagnated. We're stuck. And then one of the terms that I learned when I was, seeking my credentials in drug and alcohol, you know, is the term in counseling they use called maladjustment. They believe that they're elevating when all along they're standing in the same spot because they can't seem to get adjusted to this progress of that's in their surroundings. So what they do is, instead of moving out of the projects, they buy a Mercedes to make them believe that even while they're in the projects, they still good. You know, think about it, you're spending $55,000 or $60,000, maybe $80,000 for a car that you could be putting towards a house to get you and your family out of the project. People have, this is why I feel that I always speak to the recultivation and the re-education of our people. Criminal justice is never going to be reformed as long as we keep taking the bread crumbs instead of the bread loaf.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to be rectified as long as we keep saying, okay, let's bring back parole. All right, let's bring back this intensified supervision. All right, at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, those who do criminal acts that are very, very harmful to our community, they got to answer for that. Because we're not saying that we want, them to be removed, but policing needs to be redefined, because policing and the mentality of policing in this country is the oppression of black people, straight across the board. You see, and until it can be rectified and refined to where the policing mentality is to protect the people, the humanity of the people, then and only then, and recognize the people as, not black, not white, not brown, but as people, and be just in how they, execute their policing, then and only then will the criminal justice reform matters change, because the policing doesn't, it's not, you know, it's not created from the police officers going out. It's created from the judicial system, which in turn, you know, is the basis of which, you know, incarcerates our mothers and our fathers in these prison systems and puts them mm-hmm. in these barbed wire cities, you know. And so it's real deep. But I want to know, Hassan, tell me and tell the people, like, what was the panel about? What was going on?
It was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, man, at Virginia Tech before the Arts and Humanities Department did. Specifically, what we were there to do was to talk about the education in prison and some of the failures of education in prison, and also, you know, some of the accomplishments of guys who sought to actually educate themselves in prison. And so when we went down there, I'm going to tell you, Malai, it was a real culture shock. Right? I'm talking about, you know, you're talking about Virginia Tech, so you're talking about Blacksburg. And it's the racial disparity there is really, really, you know, as high as far as the amount of you know, white people in you know, in alignment with the amount of black people there, and it's a very, very small amount of black people there. Many of them are just the students. And so when we got there, it was really something else, Malai, because we was treated like rock stars, right? The people came up to us, and they were so hospitable, right? Really, really just enthused to have us there, and really wanted to give us a critical ear. And that was something that we didn't really expect in that way. You know, and they were looking at us from a scholarly aspect. And I'm going to say this. That didn't come without time. When I was in prison, we were doing what we call jailhouse scholar talks with the academic population there at Virginia Tech. So a lot of the professors that were there and the different people who were there to hear us were already aware of what they had coming because of the work that we were doing from inside of prison.
Yes, sir.
And so now this just allowed us to be there in a tangible way to speak truth to power and to also be an instrument of revitalization and justice, right, and reformation and abolition, really, because this is what we're talking about. And we're talking about that in terms of humanity and what does it mean to treat people human and treat people with humanity, and how prisoners are the ones who are at the bottom rung of society and are ultimately treated with a lack of humanity, right? And so this is what we actually had an opportunity to discuss, man, and it was great just being able to use our story and talking about some of the things that we were able to do in prison that made a big difference, and it's making such an impact that Virginia Tech now wants to do something by going inside of Lawrenceville and creating an education program that will allow for prisoners to actually get a degree from Virginia Tech. And so Kristen?
No, I was just going to say, you know how we were brainwashed and told, and all you see is the negative of prisoners on television, and you see the fights, and you see how they make weapons, and you only paint the picture of the negative. So when you get three positive African-American men who have overachieved and who have over-succeeded society's expectations of being human or looked at as human, it was kind of like a eye-opener for them to say, wow, we can see that y'all are not animals and you're not lost as society as they want you to believe that you are.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
Because a lot of people think that you deserve what you get in prison for going to prison.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, what I would say to those people, Krista, is that whenever the judge sentences you, he sentences you to time, and you are ostracized from society, right? This is your punishment. When you're in prison, your punishment is not to incur cruel and unusual treatment while you're in there, okay? It's just that you have to do time. You said that I had to do a certain amount of years, but where the unconstitutional claims come in and where the lack of humanity comes in is when you treat me cruel and unusual, right, while I'm inside of prison. And this is what goes on. This is what's going on with the education system. The lack of it is cruel and unusual. This is what's going on with the mental health department. The lack of it is cruel and unusual. This is what's going on when you're talking about the food and the type of food that it is cruel and unusual, right? And every other aspect of how the conditions of your confinement in prison is cruel and unusual. So you expect a man to reform himself, right?
Given no tools to do so.
Exactly. 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 Yeah.
And now let me just say this, right? Now, just to add on, because I want to stay on this subject a little bit. Now, we've heard this for many, many years, that black people have been undereducated, fair education opportunity, social
on
services,
purpose.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but, you know, like, in the regulations of guns, you know, public health, economics,
mm-hmm.
and all of these types of things.
Mm-hmm.
So when my thing is like, we need the institutions of education in this country to start
mm-hmm.
empowering not just black people, but the people in general with
right.
true comprehension of what this behavior does to a society. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? And when you mm-hmm. when you have the disparities of education, when you have the disparities of, you know, economic opportunity, health, public health services and social services and, you know, all of these type of things,
mm-hmm.
whether you know, they compound to the issue. And,
right.
and therefore we get, you know, it's hard to get a grasp on where to begin. You know what I'm saying? Where do we begin in redeveloping and re-educating or cultivating the people, you know, because in a general sense, when you look at, you know, most, like me, myself, I don't hate white people. You know what I'm saying? I don't hate white people. I believe white people can be loved just like any people. I believe that every man, you know, possesses the evil of a devil, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I believe that every people, you know, have their evil. And no matter what your nationality is, because it's more about the cleansing of your heart. But there is a culture here that has cultivated young, immature minds to believe, a white persuasion to believe that, like, we've been enslaved over 400 years. White people have been enslaved for over 400 years. With this methodology of teaching that they are somewhat privileged and supreme over black people in this country and throughout the world, man. You understand? So there's a great task at hand. When you start, you know, when I look at what I see the youth out here going through, and then I'm always observing, like, when I go into different neighborhoods, area, you know, and I see how certain populations of people live versus another population of people, but they're like a block away from one another. And I'm like, well, how is this, you know, this neighborhood here, the kids are doing drive-bys, but just a block away, they drive, you know, they do a drive-by. And it's like, you know, where do we bring this balance in our societies, in our communities, that, you know, we bring justice so that the people can, you know, create a mizan, a balance of equality. And I think it's important issues like what you were addressing in Virginia Tech, as like those are key mark situations that happen that need to continue to happen. And Allah continue, who nothing moves except for the might and strength of Allah. May Allah continue to move with His might and strength this door to open and maybe present a great deal of opportunity. And you know, I'm grateful that Virginia Tech, you know, opened their doors to our organization's core. You know what I'm saying, which is a very beautiful organization coming together. Hassan, you want to tell the people about CORE? Can you hear me? Hey, Sean.
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Malau, you there?
Okay. Yeah. Was I lost for a minute?
Yeah. Yeah, it faded out for a minute. I'm here. And so, and I wanted to explain about CORE, right? CORE stands for Community Organizations Restoring Equality. And when we talk about it stands for Community Organizations Restoring Equality. And this is like what we feel like we've been tasked with within our community, because we see that there's no equity, we see no fairness, we see no justice, and so therefore, you know, we obviously cannot see equality. And when you talk about this social equality, it is in all actuality a social equality that many of us never ever become a part of, right? It is a American dream that we chase until we realize that it's a nightmare, and by that time it's all over, right? And so we don't never reach the place where we feel like the American dream is supposed to take us. And so, you know, when we talk about that American dream, we must remember that Martin Luther King Jr. said in one of his speeches, after the particular speech where he talked about going to the mountaintop, was that his American dream had become an American nightmare. Right?
Right.
And so when we talk about community organizations restoring equality, we're talking about restoring the type of equality that we had before we came over here on boats, brother. Right? This is the type of equality that we're talking about. We're talking about equality within ourselves as far as our community is concerned. How we deal with one another. When we love our brother enough so that we desire for our brother what we desire for ourselves. We desire for our sister what we desire for ourselves.
So that equality again can only be built through justice. Because
it gotta be built through justice.
Someone the way that you want to, that's right. If you're treating someone the way that you want to be treated, then you're being just to them. So that in
that's
turn
right.
Creates equality. You see what
that's
I'm saying?
Right.
You're being just when you're treating someone the way that you would want to be treated. Before we go any further, if there's anyone calling in and you would like to give a comment, or we would love if you hear your response, please press 1, and we would love to speak and hear from you, okay? But this is a deep, deep, deep topic. I was so brokenhearted that I missed that event. I had to live through this. You know, I needed to be here with my family, you know, and
yes, sir.
Man, I was brokenhearted. I was like, dang, because I really wanted to be there for that joint. But
look, brother, Malai, you know that's not going to be the last time, my brother, right?
I know. Right?
Yeah, this is just the beginning, and you're going to have an opportunity. But let me tell you what did happen, though, Malai. We had an opportunity to meet Nikki Giovanni.
Yeah.
And if people don't know who Nikki Giovanni is, you need to Google that, right? And as a matter of fact, if I was you, I would Google Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin.
Right.
Uh-huh.
and have a, and take an opportunity to sit down and listen to their dialogue. And look at how their dialogue, you can see exactly what they're talking about within our black community right now.
That's right.
I was just listening
actually, it's called
to James Baldwin. Yeah, I was just listening to James Baldwin on, there's a show on Hulu called I'm Not Your Negro.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
good.
Oh, yeah.
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 And, you know, he directed this, he directed this also. He produced it. And it's ridiculous. Like, yeah, you need to definitely check. Like, yo, that was a bomb.
Like. Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
Do we have any, do we have any callers? Anybody called in? Got somebody on this line. Y'all being shy tonight? But,
you better put them on slide.
Yeah.
You got one. You got,
was,
you got one. You got one. 5885. You live.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, LaToya.
Hi, LaToya.
Hey, LaToya.
It's always so good here for each and every one of you. All the time.
Oh, wow.
I see you all the time. Yeah, always out there doing good work all the time.
All the time.
Thank you.
Be, yeah, Sister LaToya, we got to, it's a lot of work in front of us, and, you know, be it the will of God, we are doing good work, and we are, you know, striving to do things with a beautiful heart. But how have you been, Sister? How was everything with you?
Everything is well. I'm grateful and I'm thankful.
Sister, you don't mind. Where are you calling in from? Are you calling in? Where are you calling in from? What state are you calling in from?
Hoboken, New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And where are my Jersey people? Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Born and raised. Yeah.
Right,
I'm still here.
Yeah. Okay.
New Jerusalem.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's my page. On Hoboken, too. So, let me ask you, like, when... Because you're a constant listener to the show, what things do you think impact you the most that you gain from the listening of the show?
It's built in, how the way you're out there and just making things happen and helping the community and just you're out there helping the community. It's just so exciting. It's just so wonderful just to hear that, and then the young youth, just to hear how you're helping the young youth, and the prison, you know, helping that. It's just everything I'm really amazed by it.
Okay. Well, if there's anything that you would like to do in Hoboken, and you would like, if there's anything that you would like to do in Hoboken that is in the community. You contact us. You can call us. You can contact us. You can call us at 757-589-9938.
Okay.
All right. You can call us at that number, and we will respond. And Community United Focus and Freedom Over Everything and CORE will be right there to support you in Virginia, in Hoboken, New Jersey. We're
awesome.
Right there to support you.
Awesome.
Okay, so if you want to organize anything that's positive, and you have our full support.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate every one of you.
Thank you.
I'm gonna come through Jersey in a few. You know, I'll go back to Patterson in a minute. So I'm hope to hear from you, so we can probably get together and we can support you in something out there, because we need activity, and there are brothers and sisters doing a lot out in Jersey. Don't get it twisted. You know what I'm saying?
We would love
to come out and support anything or anyone that you know doing anything out in Jersey. If you like, we're having a black we're having a day of black unity. Why don't we talk about maybe arranging a charter
mm-hmm.
bus to bring you and some people up here for that event?
Sounds great to me. To Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why don't we get together. We'll build about, you know, getting a charter bus for y'all to travel up here and see how we can get a charter bus and maybe even get some place for you guys to stay for a night and then charter back. You know, I think that'll be great.
That would be nice. And
I fellowship
out there in Patterson. I go to the Love of Jesus in Patterson.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm from. I'm born and raised in Patterson. I'm a Pattersonian, you know, PAT, the true,
mm-hmm.
true, you know, P town, the real P town, y'all. No disrespect,
the real
P town. The real P town. You talk about
I'm
trying to tell you, better get out there and find out about it, boy. It's real out there. But yo,
yeah,
you know, it's real out there, brother. I'm telling you. And
oh, I know
all
it
my
is,
people out there doing positive things, Quaheem, you know what I'm saying? All the NAACP out there, Brother Allen Shaw, and the Reverend, I forget his name, may Allah forgive me, but his name not coming on my tongue right now. But yo, they're doing some work out there. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
my brother's doing some work out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Sean is out there doing wonderful things with the podcast, all the different podcasts that he, you know, Shadi is doing a lot of work out there. Hey, everyone, tune in to Shadi's podcast, too, on Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday night. You know, that's a beautiful podcast to tune into.
Yeah.
Sister Latanya, let's make that happen, okay? Let's keep that online. And let's make that happen. Let's get us a tour bus together, just charter bus, and get, you know, get some people out here and for this black unity. We're going to be pushing to get some tour buses from a couple of cities and states around the area. So if you're interested in your state or your city having a charter bus, please contact us. And let's make that happen.
I sure will.
Thank you
so much.
Nah, that ain't no pressure, sister. That's what we want. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. I'm ready to rumble out here. But you know, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
We can't rumble like that. We got to cover that knowledge. You know what I'm saying? We got to cover that knowledge, and we got to put that knowledge down. You know, and keep Allah first, and listen, man, and go ahead and do what we got to do. You know, and make it happen,
right,
man. It's been a beautiful
night. That's right.
Here we are. We have any more callers, Jay Shaw?
Not at this time.
Well, Brother Miles ain't calling tonight, man.
He's on. He's probably just listening.
Yeah.
Oh, he just hold on. He just pressed one. Hold on 1 second.
I got him.
You say you got him.
Yeah, I got him. He took the bait.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Wait, did he press? He pressed what?
Miles.
I'm right here.
Good evening.
How you doing, man?
Hey, Miles.
Right. I was just checking the news. I heard of flies in Wisconsin wearing weather coats.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
I'm listening to everything y'all saying, man. Good conversation going. I'm just sitting back, relaxing. Now, and this forgives me, man. And you're right about them people in Wisconsin. I don't know how they could withstand that cold weather, but Lord, God bless them.
Yeah.
Especially at them games.
Hey,
at the Green Bay Packer games.
Yes. Hey, listen, it's definitely a different type of people up here, man. I ain't telling you. I'm telling you too, man. They different. And I give them, because when the sun starts to drop out here, bro, it's unreal. It's unreal when it comes to the cold. Brother Miles, man, I'm just glad to hear from you, brother. And, you know, just let you know we think about you. We appreciate you, brother, you know.
I appreciate you guys, too, man, because I sit back, I listen to what y'all talk about, and I take it to the street.
Sean is back this week, so I'm not going to say his line like I did last time. But I will say, you know, always our conversation is nothing but wealth of knowledge, and, you know, each one teach one. And I enjoy always, you know, being able to fellowship.
First and foremost, you know, I want to give a few shout outs, man. Shout out to Springhouse Community School out there in, oh my gosh, out there in Blacksburg, in Stafford County. man, we was up in the hills, man. I swear, I thought it was the hills. Have eyes or wrong turn or something, bro. We was in the middle of nowhere in a private school. With all white children, man. And listen, they were so receptive of us, man. And it was love. I can't wait. I'm about to post it. I'm chopping the video down there. It's going to be something to behold. So I want to give a shout out to them and shout out to everybody in the NOI that's celebrating Savior's Day today. Shout out to y'all. And, of course, man, shout out to everybody in the community, man, that we saw today. Beautiful people out there just striving to make it, man. Just know that Point of Impact, Community United Focus, FOE, CORE, and PRC, Prisoners' Rights Clinic, man, we all working together to make this thing happen. And anybody that's willing to contribute, we welcome you. Please come on. The more the merrier, man, and the stronger we are together.
That's right. Alhamdulillah. Well, everyone, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I give all praise and glorification and give all thanks which belongs to only Allah. I'm thankful for this wonderful night calling Ms. Latoya and my brother Miles, you know what I'm saying, my homeboy, you know what I'm saying. Listen, man, I'm real grateful. Jay Sean, you want to say a few words before we go?
Just another good show. I apologize for that. I don't know what that feedback is. I never heard that before. So I'll try to find out what that is. And you know, Supreme lives in West Conference.
Yeah, I know. I think he lives out in Milwaukee area.
Oh yeah, he in Milwaukee. But another good show, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Jay Sean.
Beautiful.
Peace.
So we want everyone to just, you know, look, we're here, Community United Focus, Freedom Over Everything, you know, Point of Impact, y'all. We're here for the people, you know what I'm saying? And this is real talk. Like, anything we can do for the people, reach out to us, and we'll do everything in our power by the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us to aid you. You know, listen, man, it's all about, you know, striving to call the people to what's correct. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're here to do. You know, we just want to remind you, like, right now, man, take this time. Just stop and do whatever it is that you're doing, man. You know, just stop and do something that will benefit you in this life as well as the hereafter. It's something that will benefit your family and something that will benefit your community and locale. Okay? With that, we're going to say goodnight. And I want to give love to my family. My cousin Nakasi, you know, my Uncle Bobby, the Hammond family, you know, we miss my aunt, Cynthia McCoy, who passed away. And, you know, let's support each other and let's keep each other strong. All right, everyone stay real, keep your head up.
Yes.
Love you. Everyone, stay peace. Assalamu alaikum. We love y'all. See you later.
Good night. Shout out, young Swiss.
Learn from a 90-day rule, but we rush it too. In 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. After 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we layin', stayed stable when nature throws us a curve of love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, you're in love, a homie, love a friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running.
Oh.
To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works.
Yeah,
when there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again.
Whoa.
I know the time is now. I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee. I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary. I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, as you, I wanna see you. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.